mistake by double booking. See, she told me she'd never got to hear George. George never heard her, so who knows? Maybe we got a start of a new thing. God always provides, doesn't he? Good music. Good music. Good to hear you two together. Kind of plant a seed. You know, the past New Year's Eve, we have, and that seed's for George and Greg as well. We have we have food and everything, but then we invite all the different musicians that we've had to come, and each one sings, and we sing together and play. So, Rhoda, we got a new star team right there, see? Fix this deal up. So we look forward to that time as well. If you have your Bibles with you, take and open them up to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. The title of the message this morning, A Father's Purpose. We celebrate today of it being Father's Day and remembering our fathers, both present and past. And as Ms. Ginger brought up with her son, you know, the Bible teaches us to train up a child. And even though he may depart from those ways of the training, he will return. And so Ginger, very spot on exactly there, that those memories come back. Never think that our efforts are in vain. For God makes you and I a promise. He says, where I send my word, it will accomplish my purpose. And so every time we do that, witnessing, teaching our kids, our grandchildren or whatever, we may think they don't hear, but that Holy Spirit can sure tune them up. Continue forward with what we do. Matthew chapter 6, probably a little different passage for about Father's Day, one that you will know. Most people have heard this at one time or another, but pay particular attention to the words in light of it being Father's Day. I invite you to stand if you are able to honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9. This is often called the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to hear and think about and thinking of Father's Day today, exactly how Jesus addresses his Father. And it's a model prayer. His disciples have asked him, said, Lord, teach us how we should pray. And it's not just Jesus' dad, but it's ours. Because he tells us we're joint heirs because of what he did on that cross. So it's our daddy too. Listen to those words as we read this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. So the purpose of a father, you know, it is one thing as we look, and most of y'all are out here in the country, it's one thing to sire a child. It's another to be a father. World of difference. Listen to the words that Jesus says. First off, he addresses him. He says, our Father in heaven. He makes a distinction immediately for you and I that we have fathers here on earth. Good, bad, indifferent. Whatever the case may be. But we also have a Father who cares for you and I, who will treat us as a father should. And we as dads, we make mistakes here on earth. But he also outlines for you and I to give us what we should be doing. So he addresses number one of our Father in heaven. In the Greek text, it really, how it was written was Abba, meaning the most affectionate term of daddy and father. And so he is praying to his father to teach his disciples how they should pray, not just to his father, but to their father, to our father. He said, "Hallowed be thy name," meaning honor and glory. We read over a little further in that Paul writes in Ephesians, and God had also given the commandment as one of the Ten Commandments, first commandment that had a promise to the children. He said, "Children, obey your parents." And by doing so, he says the promise with it that your days may be long. And so we are to honor our fathers, and especially our Heavenly Father, in every way that we can. Then he says, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." That's the obedience. Remember, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I wonder where he heard that before. He said, "Son, I want you to go down there and be the sacrifice for all of my creation." And Jesus was obedient. That's true obedience. For everyone that's ever been created or ever will be, "Son, I want you to be their sacrifice." And Jesus willingly went to that cross. I'm always reminded of that old hymn that he could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to go to that cross. He did it out of obedience and love for his Father and for you and I. He says, "For your will to be," says, "your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus knew about heaven. Jesus left that place of perfection. When we read in Revelation, we've been studying, we finished up the last two chapters, it tells us John is given where he can see and to write down for you and I everything that heaven is about. There's no sickness. There's no ailing. We don't get up in the morning and hurt. We don't have to have glasses. Doc, you don't have to have no hearing aids neither. Mike, you don't have to have knee surgery no more. None of those things apply. Other Mike, your back won't hurt anymore. And he also says there'll be no tears. There's no death. It is perfection. He says, "Your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth." That's why we pray with our request, is for His will to be done. We make our petitions in all the different things that we see. And of course, oftentimes when we pray for those who are sick, as an example, we pray for their healing. But it's not His will, it's not our will, but it's His will. See, you got me doing it, Herman. Jesus in the garden said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will." Always yielding to what He has to say. He says, "Give us this daily bread." Our Father meets all of our needs. How an appropriate song that you did, George. "I got all I need when I got all I wanted, when I got all I needed." And He promises to make our needs. You know, one of the things that dads are responsible for is to make a living. Dads are responsible to be there in the home, to nurture, to render, not just to the children, but to his spouse as well. It's our job. And God made our psychological makeup different from women. Women, oftentimes, you know, as I talk with couples, if we're having problems sometimes, and in the marriage counseling that I do before they go to get married, I tell them that. If you don't realize it, you two are different. And the Lord says that we become one. The church or the marriage always emulated Christ and the bride, we have all different ideas, all different perspectives, but yet as the two couple, the couple of the people in the couple grow together, they really become as one. I've mentioned that before with Jimmy and Mildred, our elder marriage statesmen. And sometimes you'll catch it, and it's not just them with others too. The longer they're married, they can finish each other's sentences. Because they've become as that one. Just as you and I are to become one with our Lord and our Heavenly Father. It's that growing of together. But He furnishes all of our needs. I'm always amazed at, and we see this, how as families have separated and what takes place is the ones that get the biggest harm are the children. You want to know why we have rising gangs? Because they're looking for a family. Not just a mom, not just a dad, a family. A place of belonging. Kind of no different than you and I, right? Before we know Christ, we run around looking for something to fill that God spot, when really what we're looking for is God Himself. And we get lost in it. We can't find our way, and we won't be satisfied until we fill that God spot with God Himself, with Jesus Christ in our lives. And so He says, you meet our needs. And then He asks, He says, forgive our debts. Forgive our trespasses. Forgive our boo-boos. Forgive us where we mess up. There's not a single parent that loves their child that won't forgive. They may not approve of what they do, but they're still your child. They're still part of you. And they forgive. And you see, we're a part of God. He created us. He knows us inside and out. He tells us in Psalms that He knew us even before we were in our mother's womb. And He had plans for us. Forgive us where we falter, even as children of our own human parents. They forgive. We have to ask for our forgiveness because we've messed up. And He says, even as we forgive. Sometimes we as the kids have to forgive mom and dad too. You ever think about it in that way? We have to be willing to forgive. We can't hold that over them. They're human. They make mistakes. They do almost of the time. Their intent and what they strive to do is what's best for the child. Y'all mentioned here this morning, Herman, you said your kids always said it about dragging to church. Why do we drag them? Because we know it's best for them. And we also been where they are. If we didn't drag them, they wouldn't go. So we force things sometimes. You know, I can remember things that my mom and dad did, and I went, if I ever have kids, I'm not going to do that. And then one day, I don't remember what Jacob did, but I caught myself saying something, and I stopped. And he just looked at me and goes, what's wrong, Dad? Nothing. Because immediately, as you talked about, Ginger, I was like your boy. The memory flooded back, and I sound just like my dad. I went, that's the thing I didn't want to say, and here I am saying it. But it was good advice. It was things that I needed to do. In the same way, we have a Heavenly Father that corrects us when we need it. It's not always enjoyable. I don't imagine there's anybody in here that said, oh, please, let me have the whooping. Yeah. But sometimes the whooping's what you got to have in order to get your attention and correct you onto the right road and the right path. He then says, do not lead us into temptations. Is there a single one of you as a parent that want to see your child fail? Nothing that ever did in raising Jacob, and that Royce did in raising Jacob, ever was the intent, we're going to lead him this way so he can really mess up big time. not within us. And you see, it's not within our Heavenly Father's plan neither. He doesn't lead us into those things. We may lead ourselves into them, but He doesn't lead us into them. Next, He says here, deliver us from evil. Huh. I'm sure somewhere y'all can recall when you know, my big deal was always taking things apart. My dad was very mechanical. I, as a kid growing up, watched him take things apart and fix them and put them back together. Well, I had the taking apart real good. But it was getting them back together. I still remember my dad, and I've told you, that was one of those things where I heard myself tell Jacob, "Hey, Dad, I took this apart." My dad said, "If you're going to take it apart, call me and keep all the parts so I can put it back together." Uh-huh. Yeah, got it. He wants to restore us. That's why He sent Jesus, His only Son, is to restore you and I. He wanted us to put us back together. And He says, deliver us from that evil. No matter who it is, no matter what the problems may be, what you always hear is that cry to mom and to dad when they're in a bind. We just celebrated Memorial Day. Countless stories of those soldiers crying out for mama and for father and to God Himself, our Heavenly Father. You see, we understand where the strength is. We may not like what they teach us, we may want to bow up against what we've been taught, but yet, when we're in that bind, we know who to reach to. And our Heavenly Father's the biggest one of all. To reach to Him because we know He has the power to change it. Lastly, He says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I relate that as the older I got, the more wisdom I saw in my mom and dad's words and their actions. I began to understand those things that I thought were just terrible, why I couldn't go out with all the rest of the boys and do whatever. And Dad said, "Nope, ain't happening, boy." But I begin to understand. The older I got, the more wiser they got. Or maybe it was just that I finally grew up and started getting a little wisdom. A reason and a purpose. So just as the model prayer that's given here to us, dads, that's the model for you and I. That's our purpose of what we're supposed to be. That's who we are supposed to emulate. He treats His children the way we should be treating ours. The Lord not only gives it once, but He gives it again in Ephesians chapter 5. He tells us that we, as men who are married, are to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. We'll show that love. He speaks directly to us in chapter 6 of Ephesians that we, when we have our children, He says, you fathers, in verse 4, He says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. The greatest thing that you and I can ever do is to teach our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, for those of you who have great-great-grandchildren, we're to teach them about the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Amazing, isn't it? Thought about that as I looked these up. Ephesians 6, 4. Paul's writing to the fathers. God in Deuteronomy 6, 4. Gives the same admonition to us here as he begins. And he starts in verse 4. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. See, we're not only to talk about God and talk about what He does and how Jesus is our Savior, we're to teach them. Every single one of us, whether we hear the verbal words or not, we're constantly watching. Heard that old adage, little eyes are watching? And you may not think they're paying attention till you hear that first word that comes out of their mouth. Where'd you learn that? Daddy Shut says it. All right, boy, now we've learned you become of an age to be a snitch. Okay. So we got to watch what we do and what we say, because little eyes and ears are watching. You see, our purpose is to teach them the right way. Teach them that they may know a Father that loves them even more than we ever could. Teach them of His ways, that they too may teach their children. When you look at the world today, you know, every generation that says, boy, I don't know about these young people. Kind of got tickled. I was listening to an old lineman talking about the people coming in line work now. And I thought, yeah. And when you were that young guy, them old timers was saying the same thing about you and me. That's exactly how they heard it and how they saw it. I don't know about this generation. Well, folks, part of it is mine and your generation, we were taught. Too many young people today haven't been taught. That's for us to do. And it's not too late. We teach even today in everything that we do. Finally, I draw your attention to Romans 8:15. The purpose of us doing those things, the purpose of why we are to teach our children of God's statutes and keep them with Him, is in Romans 8:15. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Thought about that verse. See, if we don't teach our children the right way to go and the things to do, they end up in bondage in more ways than one. They're afraid because the world will put them in bondage. Oh, yeah, some will mess up to where they get put in jail or even prison. That's bondage. Their freedom to come and go has been taken away. And why? Because there's consequences to sin, to mistakes. But it is our responsibility to teach and to love, even when they have done that, whatever it is that's so wrong, even whether they go to jail or not, but even in jail. I've heard people say that before. He'll never change. I got news for you. God can change anybody, anytime. All we have to do is be willing. Willing. Willing to obey. Willing to listen. Willing to follow. But ladies and gentlemen in this room, no matter what your age, God can use you to teach those around every one of us, to teach us of His statutes, to display His statutes. Purpose of a father. I'll share with you a card I received today for Father's Day. It says, Dad, thanks for teaching me what really matters. There are a lot of things that you taught me without ever saying a word. You taught me to do what's right by living your life with integrity. You taught me to be kind by always caring so much about others. And my whole life, day by day, you taught me how to love by loving me with your whole heart. The purpose of a father? To teach. To love. And guys, not to be afraid to tell them we love them or to hug them. Regardless of what's taking place, they're still ours. Aren't you glad you're still His? Because He still wraps His arms around us and loves us. No matter what it is, He'll even walk through us with the consequences of our failures, but He loves us. Bow your heads, I'm done.